welcome to Take Two Radio Music. I'm Pam, your host. And happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope your day is going well. It's a beautiful day in Chicago. And I couldn't be more excited to have my guest today. He's an award-winning country singer-songwriter that most of you will probably be familiar with. Welcome, Cody Prevost, and I hope I'm saying your last name correctly.
Hey, Pam, it's great to be here. It's actually Prevost, but that's all good.
Prevost, okay.
It's
I didn't get a chance to ask you before the show. I'm sorry about that. So you just kind of wing it sometimes.
No worries at all. Thank you for having me on the show today.
You're very welcome. And as I said, thank you for taking the time to spend some time with me today. I know you're very, very, very busy lately. You had a lot of touring going on and stuff like that, and your new album, which we'll discuss a little bit later in the show. But I always like to start out with a little bit of background, you know, on you, like for people that don't know who you are. I read that you picked up your first guitar at the age of 14 and haven't stopped since then.
For sure, yeah. I grew up in Saskatchewan. It's in kind of central Canada. And basically, I grew up on a farm. My dad farms about 3,000 acres, and my mom owned a small town bar in a little town called Archerville. And so basically, that's where I come from. And when I was growing up, when I was about 14 years old, me and a couple of my good friends, we started a rock band in high school called Blind Hem. And we actually, at the time, played punk rock music.
Oh, wow.
And before that, though, I was inspired to pick up the guitar because when I was younger, I'd go to family reunions and different functions and campfires, and I'd always watch my mom and my uncle play guitar, and they each knew about three chords on the guitar, but between the two of them, they could always bring about 20 songs out of the situation, and I just remember the smiles that it brought to people's faces, and I remember thinking one day, you know, if that's something I could do with my life, that's what I'd love to do. And that's, you know, what inspired me to start that first rock band. And when I was in the rock band, I had been working on road construction, and I'd saved up this money to buy a new electric guitar. And, you know, unfortunately, a tragic thing happened. My uncle passed away, who loved country music, loved performing, loved playing. Aww. And I went to Calgary to attend his funeral, and I was going to walk into the music store that day, and I ended up walking in there and trying out a couple electrics, and then I went into the acoustic guitar room, picked up an acoustic, which was a Takamine, which is a brand name for acoustic guitars, did one strum, and the rest is history. I just went home, learned my first Johnny Cash.
Fell in love at that point.
Exactly. I went home, learned my first Johnny Cash song, and ever since then I've been playing country music, and I pursued from there. You know, I started learning more and more and more country songs, and when I graduated from high school, I went to college for a year, and through that year of college, I met a guy named Al LeBlanc, and he became my manager and started booking me shows around Saskatchewan for $100 a night in small town bars with just me and my guitar. And I did this for about a year and a half, and then I decided that I would really love to do my first album. So when you're 20 years old, though, the only thing that's missing to be able to go record your first CD in Nashville, I had made the connections to go down to Nashville, but the only thing missing was the money. And
trying
to figure out ways that I could, you know, come up with the funding to be able to go down to Nashville. And I went into quite a few different banks and had no luck at all. You know, it was a pretty risky investment for any bank to lend money to a musician. And this is where me and Al sat down. We put together a 5-year business plan, which laid out the goals and, you know, where we saw it going from there. And we went in to see a group called Community Futures. And it was a group that lent money to rural businesses to keep rural communities alive in Saskatchewan and across Western Canada. And about a week later, they invited me back for their annual board meeting where they could make a final decision. They had never done anything like this, invested in this type of thing. And I went back a week later with my guitar, sat down, played some songs, showed the plan again. And a week later, I got the call, and they told me they were going to approve the loan, which enabled me to travel down to Nashville and record my first album, The Road Ahead. And basically, that's kind of a long story, but that's basically where my whole music career started.
Wow. And they just saw all the talent that you had and believed in you so much. That had to mean a lot to you.
Oh, it did, you know, just to have that support, and that, you know, it just, because that's the only thing that was, you know, missing. I had support from my family, support from my friends. I was building a buzz by playing all those shows. You know, just I just needed that extra little boost to enable me to go to Nashville and get some music recorded so I could have music to bring to my shows and to expand my career.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, it doesn't usually happen that fast for everybody. So, that just shows how talented you are and how goal-oriented you are, and you were just going to achieve it no matter what you had to do to get there.
Well, and it's so cool to have people involved in the project. Like I was saying, Al was with me since day one. And, you know, just to be able to share the experience with other people, you know, for me, that's, like I said, that's why I got into music, because I seen my mom and I seen my uncle performing, and I just seen what a smile it could bring to people's faces and what a difference music could make. And that's why I got into it in the first place. So to have people surround you and, you know, continue and build things, that's, to me, you know, that's what it's all about.
Exactly. Now, did you take singing lessons, or this just all came naturally?
I did take singing lessons, but it wasn't until later years as well. When I was growing up, my mom introduced me into some guitar lessons from a local guy who lived in my hometown. And we took lessons for a couple months from him. And this was basically, he taught us the first few chords on the guitar and got us, it was actually me and my sister taking lessons together. And he got us introduced to the chords and to the, you know, to the structure of the guitar. And, you know, it was a great experience to have that.
Now, when you started writing your songs, did that come naturally? I mean, did you just sit down one day and think of what to write and just wrote it out? Did you know how to put the music to it?
Not a clue. But, it took a while for me to learn how to actually sing and play at the same time. And it's funny now as I go along and, you know, other artists who are just starting out approach me. And, you know, that's one of their challenges is, you know, learning how to play and sing at the same time. And I was like, oh, I've been there. I went through the exact same thing. But you just got to keep going and it'll come. You know, you just got to keep practicing. And then as soon as I could finally learn how to sing and play at the same time, then writing songs came into effect. And we won't, you know, mention any of my first songs that I ever wrote, but, you know, you got to start somewhere. And, you know, basically, you never know where something's going to lead, so just give it a shot, give it a go, and see where you end up.
Right. Now, do you find yourself writing about things and people in your life, or is it just things in general?
Oh, all the time. I actually, on my third album, I had a good friend of mine. Unfortunately, when we were growing up, she went through a really tough time. She lost her brother in a car accident. And I always wanted to try to find some way to help, you know, her through that situation, but that's not always an easy thing to do. And so I was down in Nashville probably about 6-7 years ago now, and I sat down with a good friend of mine, and I said, you know, my best friend went through this, and I'd love to write a song today that could possibly help people through times like that. And that day we sat down and we wrote a song called I'm Okay, which is on my third album. And so I'm always, you know, looking for ideas and you know, researching. And lots of times it is an experience I went through, and lots of times it isn't, too. You know, it just depends on the day and totally the mood. And you know, you never know what's going to come out.
That's so true. That's so true. Where's the weirdest place that you came up with a song?
Wow. That's funny you asked that question. Well, like I said earlier, my dad, he farms. And so one year I was helping with the harvesting, which is driving the combine. And it was a really good year for yields that year, so the truckers couldn't keep up with the combines. And so I ended up bringing my guitar in the combine, and while I was waiting for the trucker to come back, I sat down and I came up with a song idea, and I started writing songs in the combine. That's probably got to be about the weirdest place I've ever written a song.
Did you finish it before the trucker came back?
Not quite, but I got a good start on it.
So. Oh, I bet you've written quite a few songs, and some make it to your albums and probably some don't. And the ones that don't, do you keep them and eventually work on them to, you know, maybe put them on another album?
Yes, I got, like, on the computer, there's database of the songs I've written, and there's, I wouldn't even know how many songs are in there, but there's definitely, you know what, I've been thinking more and more about pursuing that here pretty quick, like, because I've got a catalog built up now, so I really want to take those songs and, you know, like you said, work with them and try to make them as good as they can be, and then possibly, you know, maybe there'd be other singers interested in singing them, or maybe there's TV shows. There's so many opportunities with songwriting. And as an artist, it's hard to take advantage of all those opportunities, but I've really been giving it some strong thought as to trying to find ways to capitalize more on that and to work harder on those songs that are just sitting there.
Exactly, exactly. Now, what was your feeling when you, or what your emotion, when you first heard one of your songs on the radio? What was that like for you?
I was driving to a show, actually, and I was driving, and I was by myself, and I was in my car, and I was cruising, and the song came on the radio, and I had to pull over and stop the car and turn it up, and it's such a moment in your life where you're like, I cannot believe I'm on the radio
right
now. It's just one of those surreal moments, and the hairs on my arm stood straight up and down.
Aww.
And that's the coolest thing because, you know, I've had moments in my career where that's happened since, and it's just those moments that you never forget. They really make an impact on your life, and that was one day definitely that did.
Oh, I'm sure. Did you have a lot of your friends and family calling you up saying, I heard you on the radio, I heard you on the radio?
yeah, for sure. Lots of text messages and lots of phone calls. But, that was, you know, again, that's so cool because that – it's sharing that moment with people again, and it's all over again.
Definitely. That's so much fun. I mean, I just could not imagine if I wrote something and heard it on the radio. I don't even know how I would feel, but it makes me so excited to talk to people like you that have music and have had it on the radio, and you have so many fans, and it's, then you wait for the next one, and then you try to connect with them on social media, and you just go from there. And it's excitement just for us fans as well as, you know, you guys putting the music out there.
Yeah, it's so exciting. You know, every day I just feel so fortunate to be able to do music as a career because I don't know if there's a lot of people that can say they get to do that. And, you know, especially where I come from, you know, I grew up in Saskatchewan, and there's, you know, I guess you could say it's not really known as a popular career, like becoming a musician and getting into music. Like, it would be a popular career in Nashville for sure, but where I grew up, it just wasn't the way people went. People, you know, would get into farming or get into things that, you know, really were based around where I was from. And so that was, you know, that was, for me, so exciting as well because I was kind of doing something that not a lot of people were doing. And it was just so cool to share that experience and, you know, get to be fortunate enough to be able to do music.
Well, with that being said, as you're walking down the street or shopping in the store or something, do a lot of people come up to you and say, hey, I know who you are, and, you know, can I have your autograph?
It does happen. It's just, and it's so, again, it's so, like, you almost got to take a second and you think to yourself, are you sure you want my autograph?
Yeah.
you know, like, that's what you think to yourself. But it's, you know what, it's like, I guess being on the radio and stuff, it gets to be, you know, as you get more and more and more known, it's, you know, it's so cool to have that, you know, and share that moment with a fan. But you just, it's, for me, it's just so hard to, you know, obviously I give the autograph and say hello and introduce myself and, you know, but it's something that is just such a unique experience that I can't really explain it. It's really overwhelming.
It probably feels like an out-of-body experience. It's the only thing I can think of.
It kind of does because, you know, it's kind of like, oh, can I have your autograph? And you kind of look behind you.
Yeah.
One of those
moments.
Me. But no, it's awesome, and I definitely don't take it for granted ever, one day even. So.
Yeah, stay down to earth and keep your head out of the clouds, and you'll be fine. You'll be working a long time. Now, go ahead.
I think you got to kind of respect it, you know, like, because there's so many people wanting the same thing, and at any time, within the blink of an eye, it could be gone. So you just got to enjoy every minute and really, you know, be thankful for the opportunities that come your way.
Exactly, and live in the moment. You know, you never know what tomorrow is going to bring, so, you know, always live
exactly.
for that day.
Yeah.
So that's the best way to think about it. You've released quite a few albums and EPs since you started, and I was just wondering, how would you say your music has changed since you released The Road Ahead to your most recent release of All Kinds of Crazy?
I'd say it's evolved quite a bit. With the Road Ahead, I went down to Nashville, recorded that album with producer Steve Fox, and we as well worked on the second project together, the Spin Six Pack EP. And, you know, back then I was just getting my start. I'd never been in the studio. That was a whole experience on its own, just getting to go in and work with those world-class musicians. I remember walking in the studio for the first time and, you know, going. So we'd sit in the room where we'd all listen to the song once. Then we'd go into the studio and they would have charts and we'd play the song right through. And I remember hearing it in the earphones and I thought it must be pre-recorded. Like, it sounded so good. And I just couldn't believe that these were my songs coming to life. And and it was just definitely an experience of a lifetime. And from there, though, you know, in that first album, I wasn't really, you know, I didn't really know a lot about being in the studio. So I was learning so much. And same with the second project. And the third project, I worked with Tom McKillop, a producer out of Vancouver, Canada, and we worked together. And I remember being in the studio on the third project and just feeling so much more comfortable. I knew what was going on. I knew, you know, how to talk to the musicians and the, you know, the sound engineers. And, you know, you just get that experience and you take that and use it towards every album. And with every album, I've been, you know, trying to take a new step, trying to be a little more edgy and, you know, get a little more of my own sound in my music. And with the fourth album, I had a lot more input even as well. Like, I don't know if anyone has seen the cover that's listening today. You'll see that I'm standing between two giant elephants.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's a crazy...
Because the album's called All Kinds of Crazy. I could share the story behind this album cover. One night I was at home and I got a call from my graphic designer and he said, Cody, are you ready to do a photo shoot tomorrow? And I said, well, to tell you the truth, not really. I got no clothes ready. But he said, well, it don't matter. We'll just show up at my house at 7 a.m. and we're going to go to the circus and do the shoot. So I said, oh, that's awesome. I'll be there. So I showed up at 7 and they had a wardrobe stylist there, so she had all these clothes for me, and we had obviously get the hair done, and all that stuff happened. And my graphic designer went to the circus and got permission to go into the circus and take photos for an hour before the circus. It just happened to be going through where we lived.
Oh, wow.
And so
lucky.
We went in. It worked out so incredible. So we went in and we took some photos, and I actually didn't know that he had got permission to work with the elephants for 10 minutes at the end of the shoot. So I, all of a sudden, I felt a little bit uncomfortable, and I looked behind me. On either side, there was two giant elephants, and they're so incredible. They're just amazing. I couldn't believe it. I was pretty nervous, too, at the time. But,
oh, I can imagine.
But the trainer was there, and we all worked together, and we had 10 minutes to get the album cover, and that's how we did it, and it worked out so awesome. But, you know, it's just now I'm kind of in that place in my career where I'm more interested in taking more chances, more risk, more, you know, going out on the edge, you know, doing something different from everyone. And it's taken a while to evolve to that. But now that it's there, like the new we just did a brand new music video for my latest single called All Kinds of Crazy, and oh, it's just, it was so awesome to work on this shoot. I worked with a director, and one night I was at his house, and he said, "What do you think about putting Bigfoot in the video?"
That was so funny.
Obviously, I thought he was joking around. So I said, "Yeah, well, we'll have to see about that." So, but I was leaving his house that night, and I turned to him and I said, "You know what? Maybe that's not such a bad idea." So the next week, I was online and I had ordered the costumes and everything came together, and we filmed it, and the band dressed up, and the makeup lady came in and she did makeup on each Bigfoot for an hour and a half, and we had a 2-day shoot, and it was just a massive job. But to be in that kind of set where it's so much fun like that, it just, you didn't even feel that you were ever tired until you got home that night. But it was just such an experience, and for me, you know, it's just, let's, you know, it's time, let's take some risks. And we've kind of, you know, learned a lot about the music industry and that, and it's just, it's been an incredible ride.
Yeah, I love that video. When I saw it, I was laughing. Of course, it's a great song, but that video just kind of goes with that song. So.
Oh, for sure. And the funny thing is, the band almost didn't make her through when they had to carry me on that stick.
Oh, no.
There's one part in the video where the band ties me on that wood pole,
yeah,
and then they carry me. And they actually carried me, and they were just about didn't make her. We only did one take there. That's all we could do.
Oh. It was like,
but
do or die out right now.
Yeah, exactly. And it was pouring rain. And
well, it's got to be fun
good
for you putting those videos together, too. Do you come up with your own storyboard sometimes? Do you have input in that?
Oh, yeah. Like, the director will send us the storyboard, and, you know, I'll go through it, and then I'll send it to the manager, Al, there, and he'll go through it as well. And it's a collaborative effort, but we usually let the director, like, we usually have a pretty good idea before he even starts a storyboard where we want it to go, and then
mm-hmm.
he'll put the storyboard together, and then we'll just fine-tweak it until we have exactly what we want, and then we'll make it happen.
Yeah, I always say that musicians and singers out there have to be part actors, too, when they do these videos, you know.
Right.
You guys make it look so easy, and I know it's not always that easy, but you definitely have to be part actors.
Yeah, well, I'm still working on that side of things, but just definitely working on it. So, but no, it's so much fun, and then that's the thing about it, you know, you just can't ever be too serious. You got to have a, you know, a fun side as well, and that's because that's, to me, what music's all about.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. Now, I also wanted to mention that you started your own label, Good Spirits Records. Why did you decide to go that route?
Well, when we were kind of starting up, we thought it was a really good idea to have a label, and me and Al just kind of joined a partnership and formed the label, and ever since then, we've been, you know, working at it and stuff, and it's, you know, it's definitely given me a more professional look. Like,
mm-hmm.
When I release a single, it's always under Good Spirit Records as well. You know, there's the other option one day of having other artists on the label, and, you know, it's just I guess it's something to keep in mind down the road, like when you're looking at the future, and for future, you probably are going to want to expand one day, so you kind of set a foundation that you can work
mm-hmm.
from. And so when we first formed it, that's what we were, you know, that's what we definitely had in mind. And, you know, we're still thinking about things like that right now and just seeing where that's going to go.
Yeah, I find a lot of indies these days are starting their own record labels because it's a lot easier than trying to get on one, you know, one of the major ones. And a lot of the indie record labels take off because, like you said, you can bring other people on to that label as well and grow from there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so awesome with having the internet these days and having the opportunities as an indie artist. You can get on iTunes. You can get on, you know, all the online stores. You have the social
mm-hmm.
media. You have the YouTube. You can get your videos up there. It's just, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, but you know, at the end of the day, when you take a look at what's happening and things are growing, and you know, it's pretty self-satisfying to see all of that stuff going on and growing and mm-hmm. building, and it, you know, and eventually maybe the artist would partner with another label to do some other things, you know, down the road. But you still have that, you know, you still have your indie label as well, and you know, the foundation is still there where it began.
Well, you definitely know what you're doing and what you're working for, and it shows in the many, many awards that you've won for your music. And recently you've been nominated for Country Recording of the Year in the 2014 Western Canadian Music Awards, and I want to say congratulations to you. And also ask you, what do these awards and noms mean to you?
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that, Pam. It was an honor to be nominated for the WCMAs. It's called the Western Canadian Music Awards. They're going to be held in Winnipeg, Manitoba, coming up in October. And, you know, since I was a young kid, I'd always watch a show. It was the Canadian Country Music Awards, the Western Canadian Music Awards, and, you know, always dreaming of one day possibly being there and being a part of it. And, you know, when I had to put together that business plan to take out that small business loan, some of my goals on those sheets were, you know, being nominated for those awards and that sort of thing. So, you know, when it actually starts coming to fruition and you see it starting to happen, it's, you know, it's so surreal. Like I was telling you earlier, it's one of those moments where your hairs on your arms stand up and you just got to take a second to, you know, to give thanks for what it, where it's come to. And it's just one of those moments, and I'm definitely looking forward to being out there in Winnipeg in October, you know, nominated with some awesome people like Gord Bamford, Della Smith, people I've looked up to my whole life. Mm-hmm. So it's just incredible to be on that list.
Most definitely. Where do you keep your awards? Do you have a big shelf that you display everything?
I have an office in my house. So I have them in there, and then I actually, my mom has a couple as well.
So oh, that's nice.
Yeah, no, it's really good. So
that's nice, because she kind of got you started with her being musical.
Oh,
so
she
that's
did.
A good thing to
my
be able to share that with her.
Yeah, my mom and dad have been there since day one and just always really supported the music and believed in me. And, you know, it's not always like that. I've seen people go, I can't imagine how hard it would be, you know, not having your family support behind the music. And I find myself very fortunate to have that.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that are out there on their own, and it's not easy, like you say, because no matter what career you're going for, you want your family and your friends there to believe in you and believe that you can do that, you know, what you're going out there to achieve. So it's so much better to be able to share it with them when they believe in you and they stand behind you and say, go, 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 you know?
It is for sure. It is for sure.
Now, I also wanted to talk about your concerts that you've already done. I mean, you've played with some big names, Florida Georgia Line, who I happened to just see last night on, it was either Jimmy Fallon, I think it was Fallon. I always get the two mixed up. And Joe Nichols and Big and Rich, to name a few. What was it like touring with them?
There's so much to learn in this industry, and when you get an opportunity to share the stage or, you know, to sit down with those guys and have a chat, there's so much to take in as an artist just, you know, making his way up and in his career, and getting a chance to sit side stage and watch him perform and see how it's done and see how many people are involved and, you know, see all the backstage, the guitar techs and, you know, the people making sure this is happening and that's happening and just making sure the show flows. There is so much to learn, and the best part of that show is that, because, you know, as an artist just coming up, you really get a clear vision of what you need to do to reach that next level. So it's a huge opportunity for any artist coming up.
Most definitely. Were you able to sit down with any of them and just chat? Did any of them give you advice that you use to this day?
I was able to chat with Florida Georgia Line, and you know, to chat with Joe Nichols a little bit, and you know, they're just all such down to earth people, and it's, you know, it's so awesome to get to. I remember one time in my career, I was in Nashville, and a good friend of mine called me, and he asked me if I'd be interested in going to the Grand Ole Opry. So I, you know, jumped at the opportunity to go, mm-hmm. and what I didn't know is he was taking us backstage, and
oh,
I got
wow.
to meet. It was so awesome. I got to meet Jewel, and I got to meet Charlie Daniels, and you know, the biggest thing is just getting out there. Like I know lots of artists starting out will, you know, even come up and ask me, you know, how should I get out there? How should I get people to recognize mm-hmm. me? And I said, the only thing you can do is just get out and play anywhere and everywhere. You know, if there's
right.
an opportunity to play in your hometown. At a, you know, it might be a gig only with 50 people there, but just do it, you know, just get out. And that, getting out there and doing that first gig will lead to a second gig, and then the second gig lead to a third gig. Before you know it, you'll be recording your first music, CD mm-hmm. or some type of music, and the next thing you know, you'll be on a tour, or you'll be opening shows, and just, it all starts with baby steps, and, you know.
Exactly.
And it's just, but for me, it's so cool to get to see those guys' show because it's, that shows where they started with baby steps and now where it's come to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so for me, I set similar goals as to see what they have. Those would be some of my goals to, you know, obviously have guitar techs and have sound people and lighting people. You know, I'd love to see it get to that point.
Right. Yeah, big, humongous show and everything. But it's also, I think, nice that even when you're huge like they are, to go back to your roots at some point in time and just play the small clubs again. You know, I mean, there's, to us fans, yeah, it's great to see all the lights and the smoke and the big screens and everything. But it's also nice to have those little intimate concerts.
Oh, it is. Sometimes those are the best ones. I remember playing a concert. Mm. There's a place where I live, and it's called the Listening Room, and it can only hold about 40 people, but it's such an intimate room. So when you're sitting on the stage, people are pretty much like within probably 2 feet of you in a
right.
semicircle.
Yeah.
And so when you're in a room like that, you know, your stories and your, you know, you tell your story of where you grew up and how you started, how you got into music, and all of that just translates. And, you know, by the end of the show, you feel like you're friends with everybody in that room
right.
because of what just happened. And,
right.
you know, there's nothing sometimes that can beat that experience for sure.
Definitely. Now, do you usually meet your fans after your concerts?
Oh, every concert I make a point of getting out there, and I actually hand out postcards to everybody who came to the show.
Oh,
and,
that's
you
great.
Know, obviously have the CDs and everything available, but the biggest thing is mm-hmm. just getting out there, and I just always done the postcard thing since day one, and I even used to do surveys. I'd have a survey on each table, and then the people could fill out what they thought of the show and what songs they'd want me to learn and play at the next concert.
Wow, that's pretty brave.
Well, it is,
that.
But you know what? It,
you learn
it just gives
from
them
it.
A, it gives them a voice, and it mm-hmm. as well can, it, you know, it can be good for you as an artist as well, just learning what you should do better. And depending
right.
on the venue, I guess, you know, if you're playing in a bar and everybody's had too much to drink, then
yeah.
I don't know how much you'd take the comments to heart.
Right. Well, that kind of reminds me of one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Is there anything that stands out to you while being on tour that happened to you that was really funny or really strange?
Oh, there's always stuff that happens. You know, like, for instance, the one funny thing was I had a concert booked, and the concert was about 3 hours from where I live. So I drove there, and the concert, I went up the night before because the concert was at 7 in the morning. It was a pancake breakfast.
Oh,
this
my gosh.
This was quite a few years, for quite a few years ago, but it brings me back to, you know, don't be afraid to play anywhere and everywhere.
Right.
So it was a pancake breakfast, but it was at a school. It was a student day. So I got to the school and I asked the janitor, he's the only one in the school, oh, you know, like, I'm here for the concert. Where should I set up? And he said, well, the concert's not till next week. And I kind of looked at him like I thought he had to be joking. But no, the concert was the week after. I had the dates mixed up on my website. Oh. So I went to that show twice, actually. So that was pretty funny. So I just had coffee with everybody and then went back. But there's
talking about being on time.
Oh, exactly. There's so much stuff that happens, and every day you never know what's going to happen, and you're always working with different people, but it's always such a happy group because it's always, you know, you're always playing for either a party or people are there to have a good time, or you never
right.
work with people who are, you know, not thrilled to be where they're at. So I've that's another reason I consider myself lucky. And there's so many times with the band, like at one time I had two band members with me and we were staying in a double room hotel room. So there's two beds, but one was a female musician. The other one was my manager, Al. So I said, well, you guys just take the beds. I'll figure something out. So I laid a ironing board across two chairs and that's where I slept for one night.
Oh,
but let me tell
God.
That ain't, if you guys are listening, that ain't a good idea.
No.
Needed a chiropractic massage after that night.
Yeah, I would imagine. And how could you not fall off in the middle of the night?
Well, I kind of slept with one arm off and one leg off the other side. And but yeah, that's...
Well, you were
that's
lucky
you
were
do,
able
I
to
guess.
Play the next day.
Oh, yeah. No, I survived. But, you know, it's just so many funny things. And then, you know, I won't even get into these stories, but, you know, some of the hotels you stay in, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, just there's, you know, some that are super nice and then some that are not so nice.
Where you'd rather sleep in your car.
Well, there was one hotel where... We walked in and it was raining pretty hard and there was rain dripping through the roof in the kitchen.
Oh my gosh. You kind of, you see that on TV and you always wonder if there's really places like that, but you know there has to be.
Oh, there is. Yeah, there is. But no, it's all great and it's just been an incredible ride. And, you know, those are the times that you're going to remember and those are the memories that, you know, you're going to look back and laugh about, you know, for the next 20
years. Yep, and you're going to write a song about.
Well, you're going to write a song and maybe it'll contribute to the book as well.
Right.
So, awesome.
Oh, my gosh. I can imagine. That's pretty funny. I used to date a guy that was in a band for a couple of years, and I know the funny things that would happen to them and the car, or the van breaking down and, you know, just so many stories that you can tell. And that's why I always like to ask that of whoever I'm interviewing, because there's something funny to always come out of that.
Well,
now,
sometimes
also,
you wonder, sometimes you can't even believe. Like, I'm sure your old boyfriend had a lot of stories that you wouldn't even have believed could be real.
And sometimes I was there for some of those stories. Let me tell you. I mean, there was just one story where he was playing in this one bar, and there was they would go there often and play. It was by a naval base, and they had a bunch of girls that would come all the time to see them. And one girl was really crazy about him, and one day she decided she's going to go and sit in his van because he left it unlocked all the time. And when we got out there, she's sitting in there, and he's telling her, can I help you? And she knew I was his girlfriend to top it all off, you know, and she's like, I'm going home with you. She was drunk as heck, you know. So we eventually got her out of the van and then, you know, started driving off, and she's running behind the van like a crazy woman. So, there's some stories.
If it was, you should have recorded that one.
Yeah.
That would have been
back
good,
in the day, we didn't have the cell phone thing, so.
Oh, I see. Because that would have been viral in one day.
Right? Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I had to yank her out of there. So, yeah, it was fun. But that's the stuff you put up with, so.
That's good.
It's funny. But I do also want to mention that while you were touring with those guys, you also started the Imagine No Bullying Tour and worked alongside of the Canadian Red Cross and your friend Stephen McGuire. And I wanted to thank you for doing that, as it's such a big issue and, of course, not one to ignore. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, it was so awesome to be part of that. My friend Stephen McGuire, he set up the first concert in Saskatoon in Saskatchewan, and he had asked me to be a part of it. There was about 10 artists involved in that concert. It was at a place called the Broadway Theater, and we went, and it was sold out. There was about 500 people showed up, and every artist got to play two songs, and it was just an incredible night. And after that night, people were calling Stephen and wondering if we could bring this concert and this presentation to schools, you know, across the province as well as into other provinces. And Stephen, he thought, how can we do this? Like, we can't take 10 artists. It's going to, you know, the cost would be outrageous.
Right.
So he called me and he asked me if I would be interested in doing this with him and the Red Cross. And I said, you know what, man, for sure, I'd love to be a part of it. Let's make it happen. So we started working on it, and we started, you know, getting meetings set up at the Red Cross. And before we knew it, we were in schools. And with the first tour, we played to 9,000 students, and that was just in 7 schools. So, and, like, words can't really describe it, because we were out there, we were just trying to create awareness about this problem that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the representatives from the Red Cross came with us, and she would, you know, do a presentation as well. Me and Stephen would do presentations about our stories and where we grew up and what we went through. Because I grew up in a small town, and bullying was everywhere. And, you know, there's some days, you know, you're scared to walk home after school. And, I can't imagine these days with cell phones and with the internet and social media, that all,
right.
you know, kind of wasn't in place when I was in high school. And but now it's just like those poor kids, how do they do it? How do they go through it? You know, they used to be, we'd go home after school and we'd get away from it, but now it's constant 24 hours, you know,
right.
everybody's always online. And so it just, you know, there had to be something happen. And it's really cool to see now, because the Red Cross and different organizations have implemented quite a few different anti-bullying campaigns, and ours is one of them. But it's just, you know, it's so incredible, and words can't explain it, because, you know, after that tour, seeing the emails come in from students and, you know, just seeing a difference that it made, it was, that's, you know, that was worth it right there.
Definitely. And again, I thank you for that, because my youngest son, I have 4 children, and my youngest has gone through some bullying issues because he's special needs. And so as a parent these days, you really have to be on top of that. You really have to be aware. It's not like back in the day when I was growing up and, you know, somebody bullied you, but you didn't call it bullying. It was just somebody teasing you, and you know, you were supposed to just take it with a grain of salt and walk away, or you end up getting in a fight with that person. But at that time, you fought with fists. You don't fight with guns and everything else like they do these days. And
exactly.
and with it being 24/7 like that, because of social media, and it gets into them more and more and more, then that's where you have the kids that are committing suicide. So, you know, if people like you that are out there all the time and can do things like this and bring awareness and give them a place to be able to feel safe and give them the information they need to get help, gosh, you are so wonderful for doing that.
Well, that's what it's about, you know, getting the, you know, because the Red Cross offers so many programs, and there's helplines and all that stuff. Just, it needs to, the kids have to know that, you know, the youth have to know that that's there and that's an option, and they don't have to talk to anyone else about it. And, you know, they can be anonymous if they just need someone to talk to, or, you know, if they're going through something. Because, like, when I was growing up, you know, the biggest thing is I never want to talk to anybody about those situations. And but who knows if there would have been somewhere I could have called maybe to talk to people that, you know, But that was one of my biggest problems, because I never wanted to talk to anybody about it. And so now in my story, when I'm talking to the youth, I say, you know, you guys, if you're going through something, just get help. You know, it doesn't have to be your teacher. It could be your parent. It could be a friend. It could be, you know, it mm-hmm. could be the helpline. You know, there's so many options available. And just, you know that people are there for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just, as long as people keep doing it, because there are more and more people speaking out about it, that's
yep.
what's going to help solve it. Of course, it'll never go away, you know, completely, but it'll help it. It'll help the kids that are being, you know, bullied. Or it could even help the children that are doing the bullying realize what they're doing to somebody.
Well, that's exactly it, because I know, like, you know, through working with the Red Cross and stuff, you get to read the facts, and it says, you know, so much of bullying actually stops when a person who steps in, you know, who's seeing
right.
the bullying happen, which steps in from the outside, because all of a sudden it's, you know, it's not the cool thing to do is step in and help then.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a shift in the whole thing, and that was the whole point of the campaigns and the tours, is to, you know, to try to make that shift happen.
Exactly. Well, thank you again for that. And on a lighter note, I want to bring up your tour that you're doing now in Canada. How do you get ready physically for a tour?
Lots of jogging. Well, actually, lots of jogging. But, you know, like, we, as a band, we rehearse. We get together. We have a space. We do rehearsals. This year with the tour, because the album's called All Kinds of Crazy and the theme's a circus, we're building
mm-hmm.
some staging, which is almost prepared. And then we'll bring our own staging, and there'll be, you know, it'll be circus themed. So we're getting, you know, clothing built and just all sorts of stuff. And it's, you know, so to prepare for the tour, there's quite a bit. And then, you know, ordering merchandise and creating that. And there's a lot of things that go into a tour for sure. But we're definitely almost there. And it's, you know, it's really shaping up and coming together.
Yeah, because you have to have a lot of stamina when you're touring around like that. I mean, I would imagine there's times you wake up in bed and think, where am I? what city am I in?
Well, you do, but like I said a little earlier, like the coolest part is the energy on the road. Like
yeah.
the mm-hmm. people you're around, the you know, the groups you work with, it's just always such positive people. And
right.
I believe that that's really what keeps a band going and on the road, is the fans and the people coming to the shows and the people just there for a good time, and 'cause the band feeds off that energy, and it really
mm-hmm.
it really does, you know, make it easier to keep going and to carry on.
Most definitely. Well, I hope you make it to the States. I'm in Chicago, and I'd love to see you here sometime.
Well, we're coming to Kansas in August of this year.
Oh,
it's
a little bit of ways away from me.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, no. Sugar. Like, we're hoping to get, like, that's our first U.S. tour date, so we're definitely looking at getting some more, and, like, I'm definitely looking into, you know, all the paperwork and the visas and stuff that go along with getting into the States, and we're going to make that happen definitely more in 2015, and I'm going to, even if I have to come over there and just do some acoustic shows at first and then
mm-hmm.
bring the band a little later on, I'll do it that way and just make it happen.
Well, that would be awesome. My daughter loves country music too, so I know she'd be there with me.
Oh, awesome. How old is she?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. Four kids. How old is she? 23.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. No, I'll definitely.
I have to think.
Definitely. Be working on getting there.
Wonderful. Well, I want to let our listeners know to be sure to follow Cody on Twitter, and it's at Cody, C-O-D-I. Last name is spelled P-R-E-V-O-S-T. And also like his Facebook page and check out the website, too. Now, how do you say your last name again? I don't want to mess it up.
So it's Prevo. So Cody, C-O-D-I-E. And then Prevo, P-R-E-V-O-S-T, just like the tour bus. They have those big tour buses that all the singers travel in.
Yeah,
same way.
I didn't
Prevo.
Know that's what that was called.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that'll come in handy one day soon.
Yeah.
Having the same last name as the bus.
Yeah. Well, the website is CodyPrevost.com, and buy his music on his website or wherever you digitally download your music from, and be sure to check out the videos on YouTube. You'll absolutely love them, especially All Kinds of Crazy. And I'm going to play two of your songs, which will be Someday and All Kinds of Crazy, and you've told us about All Kinds of Crazy. Could you tell us a little bit about Someday before I let you go?
For sure. Someday, when I wrote that song, I was in Nashville, and I actually wrote it with the same guy who wrote my song I'm Okay that I talked about a little earlier with. Mm. And I sat down on his couch one day. We were writing at his house, and we had written a song that morning, then went out for lunch and came back. And it's, you know, really uncommon for me as an artist to write two songs in one day. Mm-hmm. But I started strumming this melody, and, you know, Adam, the guy I was writing with, asked what that was. And I said, oh, it's just an idea I've had for a while. And so he just started humming a couple words, and then, you know, I started humming a few more words. And before we knew it, we had Someday. It just happened about an hour and a half, and it was there on the paper. And, you know, we were in the studio. We were getting ready to go into the studio and picking the songs, and Someday was just always one of those songs that I knew that I had to record. It's mm-hmm. when I wrote it, it's definitely a song about finding hope. And when I got together with the video director and my manager, Al, and we talked about video ideas, and, you know, we really wanted to do something that would mean something to someone. And we came up with the treatment, and we based the video around domestic violence and then just creating awareness about that problem.
Right.
And when the
yeah.
video went out, what a response. The video has now about 250,000 views. And
yeah.
just the emails and the messages under the video and just everything that came in, it was just so incredible. You know, as a songwriter, you put a pen to paper, and you don't know what's going to happen. You never know the response from people. You don't know what people are going to think of that song. But that's just one as a songwriter that, you know, that I'm most proud of writing. And, you know, and having that video come out, I got to thank the whole crew, Electric Umbrella, for, you know, filming that video with me. And it just turned out amazing. And thank you to everybody who shared their stories and, you know, found strength through the song.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can spread the word in so many different ways, just like we were talking about with the bullying and now the domestic abuse. And it touches a lot of people's hearts when you do things like that. And I just hope for only the best for you, and your future is the brightest it can be, because you've given us so much pleasure.
Well, thank you, Pam, and thank you for having me on the show today, and thank you to everybody who's listening in as well.
You're very welcome, and thanks again for joining me. And please keep in touch. I'd love to have you back again, you know, maybe towards 2015 when you have that U.S. tour you can talk about.
Yeah, for sure. That would be awesome. And I'm definitely looking
Wonderful.
Forward to getting there and meeting all of you.
Definitely, definitely. I will be there. I'll be screaming
awesome.
The loudest.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. Take care and enjoy
hopefully
the rest of your day
I
and have an awesome tour.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully I show up on the right day for that show.
Yeah. Please do.
I'll do my best.
Right. Take care.
Yeah, you too, Pam. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And for all of our listeners, I'm going to go ahead and play All Kinds of Crazy from the album All Kinds of Crazy by Cody Prevost.
It's all right if we go all night.
All Kinds of Crazy. I love that song, and you definitely got to see the video on YouTube. Just check it out. I'm sure you'll get a kick out of it. The other song I'm going to play is called Someday, so here it is.
Breaking like an ocean wave, hoping just to reach the shore, praying for the light of day to find your way out of this storm. You've been tossed about, lost and found, lifted up just to be let down. But someday love is gonna take you in its arms, hold you, heal your wounded heart, and your faith is finally gonna lead you through the dark. You'll find everything in time.
Prevo, and that's on All Kinds of Crazy, the album, so be sure to pick that up, and you truly, truly will love each and every song. And I love the powerful messages that he puts out there for people in his music. Now, with that, I'm going to say thank you to everybody that joined in today to listen. I hope you'll join us again. We'll be back on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time with an hour or so of indie music from around the world. And then again, next Wednesday, we will have Eyes of One, and they are a rock band here in the States, and we'll be speaking with both people from that band. I'm not going to say too much ahead of time, and we don't want to give it all away. We want to talk to them and have them give it to us. So thanks again, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. And don't forget to follow Cody on Twitter at Cody Prevo. And it's P-R-E-V-O-S-T. And again, Cody is C-O-D-I-E. Follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio Music. That's with the number two. Check out the website at take2radiomusic.com. We have upcoming guests on there, previous podcasts. Like if you wanted to listen to this one again, you can go there and listen to it again and share it with others. We have the music playlist from every Music Monday that we do on there if you'd like to listen to an hour or so of music and some of the best indie music from around the world. You can do that as well. We have an indie music video channel. If you are an indie artist and you want your video on there, send me an email to take2radio2@gmail.com. You can also send your MP3s for any music that you'd like to have me play to that email as well. Be sure to include your Twitter, your Facebook, your website, whatever you have, so that way I can share it with our listeners. Also follow us on Blog Talk Radio. They'll send you an email each and every time we have a show scheduled. That way you won't miss your favorite artist that maybe you want to listen to an interview or listen to one of the shows with just the music only. And you're always welcome to call in and speak to one of our guests. Our phone number here is 1-718-506-1540 and press 1 so that way we know to pick up your call. Don't be shy. They are always down to earth. You may be a huge fan of somebody and feel like, oh, my gosh, what would I say? Or, you know, just didn't know what to say. But just call in and say hello. They love speaking with their fans. So never be afraid to do that. And, again, thanks, buddy, and take care. We'll see you again on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Bye-bye.